just close my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Driver, take away my worries of today.
Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4. And that's Dreamweaver by Gary Wright. And we're playing it because my guest is Lainey Dolphin, who is a renowned expert in helping ordinary people interpret their dreams. She's over 40 years in the dream work. She operates Dream Interpretation Center in Montreal. Has been doing dream analysis for years and is here to talk about that. And Lainey, how are you?
I'm good. Lainey, how are you, Nick?
It's nice to talk to you.
Yes, so nice to meet you.
So Lainey, are you up in Montreal?
I am.
Mm-hmm. And
stuck at home like everybody else.
Stuck at home just like everybody else. That's right. Tell me about the Dream Interpretation Center.
I opened the Dream Center just as a place for people to find me so that they could understand how and why our dreams happen to us, which I can start our discussion with something very simple. Dreaming is just thinking. That's all it is. Mm. And the only difference between the way we think during the day and the way we think at night is distractions, because you're distracted during the day. For example, right now we are awake, and so we're talking on the phone. You've probably got some lights around you, some phones around you, mm-hmm. and so you're distracted. And when you go to sleep at night, all the distraction disappears, and you actually get to see what you're thinking. So, for example, if there's something about my voice or my intonation that reminds you of your grade 10 teacher, you don't realize it, but your unconscious is flashing a picture of her right now. And tonight you'll go to sleep, and all of a sudden that teacher's going to appear, and you'll say to yourself, what the heck was that? And maybe it will be you processing this conversation, and you used her as a metaphor for me.
Wow. All right. Lainey Dolphin is with us, an expert in analyzing dreams. How did this start, Lainey? When did you decide that you wanted to do dream analysis? And have you always been fascinated by it?
I was always fascinated by it because I happen to be one of those people that has fantastic dream recall. And also because I had a dad, rest his soul, he was the one of the couple that used to come in if one of us was having a nightmare. Mm. And he never, ever said to us, that was just a dream, go back to sleep. My father used to say, you had a nightmare? Good, tell it to me. And so he engaged me and gave me an appreciation for dreams. And also, when it was time to go back to sleep, he would say he was doing something very Jungian and didn't even realize it. But he would say, okay, it's time to go back to sleep, and I want you to say to yourself, I'm going to have a nightmare. There's one coming. Bring it on. I'm ready for it. And so, you know, I had that kind of background. And when I turned, just after I turned 21, my first of four daughters was born with Down syndrome. Mm. And not so long after, I became depressed, and I ended up in the office of a brilliant New York Freudian analyst who had moved to Montreal. And so I wasn't very well able to articulate my feelings in my early 20s,
yeah.
but I used to go to the sessions with the shrink, always with a dream. So my introduction to Freud was that I experienced him long before I studied him.
I see.
And then I went on to study Gestalt, and I learned about Frederick Perls and how he looked at dreams, and Carl Jung, and Alfred Adler, and those are the four basic fathers of psychology that you and I are going to talk about tonight.
Yeah. Now, so how seriously do most people take this? I mean, because I think there might be some skeptics out there. How do you deal with that?
Well, they probably won't be too skeptical after tonight.
Okay.
And I could give you, like, I call them points of entry. There are six basic points of entry. So what I'm doing, really, is teaching the language of metaphor, because I want you to understand the language that you're saying to yourself. Because at the first level, and I do like going deep, but not yet. First, I like to stay surface. Why did I have that dream last night? That's my first goal with a dreamer, mm-hmm. is to help you decode what waking life situation this week happened to you that triggered tonight's dream. And once we understand, because it's not a psychic thing, it's a psychological thing, I ask you the questions, and you tell me why you had that dream, not me tell you. Mm-hmm. And once you've told me what's the issue that you are attempting to problem solve in this dream, once I know the issue, we look back in the dream, and you can see the solution. Can I give you a one-picture example?
Sure.
Because that's how you get it when you start hearing the examples. Here's a woman who dreams that she's got a brand new puppy, and she's so excited about him that she puts the puppy up on the table so she could look at him eye to eye. And she's so happy that she has this brand new puppy, and all of a sudden the puppy poos all over the table. And so For that, I would use a feelings point of entry. And what I asked the dreamer, because there's six points of entry I'm going to teach you, and you can use any one that you're attracted to. In this one, I was attracted to the feelings. And so I asked the dreamer, here's a situation where you start out feeling so excited about something brand new, and suddenly it takes a real turn for the worst. And she knew immediately what the situation was. It was that she got a brand new job that she was so excited about, and after working there about 3 or 4 days, realized that the boss is a really abusive guy.
Mm.
And he was pooing on everybody. Get
yeah,
it?
I got it. Wow.
Okay, and so to find the solution, I also have several methods, and my personal favorite is to take the dream out to your waking life and solve the problem as if it's really happening. And that's what I asked her. If you really had a puppy and he really pooed all over the table, what would you do? And she said, the first thing I would do is take him off the table. That's the first thing I would do. So I just want to ask you, Nick,
yeah.
what comes to your mind about the expression, take it off the table? What does that mean to you?
Take it off the table? It's not an option.
Thank you, because
yeah.
that was her identical association. When I asked her, she said, if I take something off the table, it's not negotiable.
Yeah.
And so that was the solution, and she quit the job
wow.
the next day.
Wow. All right, Lainey, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, fascinating stuff here. Lainey Dolphin is with us, and she's been analyzing dreams for over 40 years. And you can check out haveagreatdream.com. That's a great name for a website, haveagreatdream.com. 312-981-7200. More with Lainey Dolphin on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is a Tuesday morning, and we're live in the Skyline studio here. Lainey Dolphin is my guest. She is a renowned expert in dream interpretation. She's been doing it for over 40 years. Her website is haveagreatdream.com, and we're talking about dream analysis with Lainey. Lainey, you said that you're really good at remembering your dreams. I am not so much. Why is that? Why can some people really remember their dream, and why some people can't?
Well, there's a physiological reason, because there's a memory trace in your frontal lobe that is not working at the same capacity when you're asleep as when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's physiological, but you're dreaming anyway, whether you remember them or you don't.
Right.
It's just if you do remember them and you know how to analyze them, then you can absolutely propel your problem-solving skills. Like if you didn't like your job and you had that dog poo dream, but you didn't remember it, you would quit your job anyway, but it might take you a month to get it.
Mm.
And because she understood the meaning of the dream, she quit the job the next day. So it's just a matter of how much faster you're going to move along at it.
Is it possible, because, you know, I don't remember my dreams very well, is it possible for me to train myself to remember my dreams better?
Absolutely. And one of my favorite exercises is to, if you start small, sit in a chair, take your watch off, and look at it very carefully, the band, the hands, how the second hand is moving, and then close your eyes and see your watch in your mind's eye. And then if you want to get bigger at it, sit in a chair and look around the room that you're in and take a note all around the room, all the pictures, all the furniture, and then close your eyes and walk around inside the room in your mind's eye, because that's the facility you need to employ when you're trying to remember a dream. Like, sometimes I wake up and I'll say to myself, where was I?
Yeah.
And that's how I bring myself back there. And the other thing, too, is Mr. Freud used to say that intention is everything. And isn't that the truth? If you leave paper and pen beside the bed and you make a decision that you want to remember a dream, you probably will within a few days. And the puppy dream, and I'm going to give you another one that's also one picture, don't feel like you need to have a whole story with a beginning, a middle, and an end, because that expression, a picture is worth a thousand words, is really true. Like, another point of entry is the action. And you see that in a woman, her only dream, the whole dream, is that she is jumping out of her chair, which is in absolute flames, jumping.
Mm.
And that is an action point of entry, because that woman was really procrastinating. And so the dream provided a rehearsal for her to literally get up.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and move. And the dream allows her to do that. That's why there's a fire in the chair.
Wow. Okay. All right. It's interesting because, you know, I do remember dreams. Like, as soon as I wake up, they're there. But then after a little while, they just go away.
Yeah, you have to write it down.
Yeah.
No question about it. But you always get a prize.
Yeah. Okay.
You always get a prize. You get the solution faster. And also sometimes you get life-changing solutions that happen to you. And that's going a little deeper.
Yeah.
And so it's up to you. If you want to go deep, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll wake up and right upon waking up, I'm like, wow, that was a really great dream. And then I don't remember it. And I get aggravated because I remember thinking, wow, that was really, interesting, amazing dream.
If you start writing down even a sentence or two before you get up off the bed,
yeah.
That's gonna help you trigger remembering the rest of the dream, as long as you get at least some of it. But if you get off the bed and go pee, you know, it's harder to remember once you start moving around.
Yeah, okay, all right. Now, some people have recurring dreams, and I'm one of them. The classic teeth falling out. That's a dream that is consistent that I've had for years, a recurring dream of teeth falling out. And I've heard many interpretations of what that is. And why is it that sometimes, first of all, why is it that people have recurring dreams and themes like that?
Okay, well, a repeat that happens over a period of years, like some people will come and say, oh, I've had that dream since I was a kid and I still have it today, that's called a favorite expression. So my favorite expression starts with an S. But because we're on the radio, let's say that my favorite expression is, oh, darn it.
Okay.
And I could have said, oh, darn it, 54 5 years ago because I missed the bus. And I could have said, oh, darn it, you know, 2 years ago because I brushed papers off my desk all over the floor. And I could have said, oh, darn it, about a half an hour ago when the first time you guys called me, it didn't go through. So I'm still saying, oh, darn it, oh, darn it, oh, darn it. But they're over a period of years for completely different reasons. So that's one reason why you repeat. But if you tell me that, oh, I had that dream 6 times in the last 3 weeks, that would be the same thing as a nightmare. That would be you avoiding something that you don't want to look at during the day, and your unconscious is successfully grabbing your attention. And the way that it does that is by either giving you a nightmare or giving you a repeat, so that finally you say to yourself, what the heck is going on here? Why do I keep dreaming about this?
Yeah.
And I'll just finish that piece by saying to you, I call this welcome to the human race. In our conscious lives, we are adept at, we lie, we sweep, we avoid. And that's why I call it welcome to the human race, because that's what we do. But your unconscious never lies to you. And this is the same feeling, or same mechanism as when you have to pee. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. And at a certain point, you have to go.
Yeah.
And your feelings are the same. You can hold them in, hold them in, hold them in. And if you hold them in too long, they have to come out, because we are self-regulating organisms. So you get the repeat. And that's your dream responding to your underreaction in your waking life.
Now, so the actual dreaming of teeth falling out, how is that interpreted? And I know many people do have that recurring dream.
I already like you, because even though we got off, we went down one road, you remembered how to bring it back. And I really love people like that. So the teeth falling out, now that we've established that the dream is the conversation you're having with yourself about something very specific this week that you're attempting to problem solve. So now that we've isolated that, you might use teeth falling out. Here's a great example. All of us, all through time, all humans, when we're 6 or 7, our teeth fall out. It's something that's the inevitable and something that we have no control over. So I know one woman that was dreaming about her teeth falling out because she knew that that guy was going to break off with her. And she wasn't looking at it during the day. But it's something that she associated with the inevitable and something that she had no control over. And so the dream is preparing her by the teeth falling out. It's getting her ready for the life situation that she knows damn well is about to happen. And then somebody else who's dreaming their teeth are falling out is because they're aggravated with somebody and they're not speaking up. And so they're dreaming that their teeth are falling out because they need to spit it out. And the dream is giving them a rehearsal to spit something out of your mouth. And it's all metaphoric, so it's about speaking your feelings out. And then a third person, maybe you're going through some kind of transition. Maybe you're turning 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, and your teeth are falling out because your definition of teeth falling out has to do with transition.
That's fascinating stuff. Lainey Dolphin is with us. She's a renowned expert in dream interpretation. She's been doing it for over 40 years.
I should add that my books are both called Have a Great Dream, Book 1 and Book 2, and that's where you can learn how to do it.
Okay, and they're available. And your website is, because I'm looking at it right now, and there's a link to where you can get the books, and the website is called haveagreatdream.com. Lainey, hold on for me, okay? Okay, there you go. Lainey Dolphin is with us. Fascinating stuff. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's nice at 12:30 at night to talk about dreams, you know, because I sleep during the day. 312-981-7200, talk or text. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. Giglio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 1 o'clock, Chris Schoenberger is the owner of BBQ'd Productions. He's a listener who we talked, he just called in randomly about a topic last week. And we found out about this business that he runs, and he's feeding a bunch of people right now during, you know, this virus and during this this time. And it's a great story. So we're going to talk to him about that. We also are going to be talking about it's Eric Clapton's birthday. He's 75 years old. So we're going to talk about underrated guitarists and weird premonitions that came true. And right now we're talking about dreams. Lainey Dolphin is an expert in interpreting dreams. And she has two books called Have a Great Dream Book 1 and Have a Great Dream Book 2. And she's here talking about dream analysis. Lainey, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I wanted to just say, because I heard you talking about the virus.
Yeah.
That because we are at the first level problem solving something that's today, you would be stunned how every dream I've gotten in the last week from different people, once they are deconstructed, are all, every single one of them, how people are managing their stress through the virus situation.
Yeah, right.
Every one of them, like, you know, I don't know if you know Girl with No Job or not, but she's big on Instagram, and she was dreaming about the Holocaust, and that is providing her with a rehearsal about exercising the part of herself, what it feels like to have no control.
Mm.
And you know that expression, been there, done that?
Yeah, yeah.
So you that's what you do in some of the dreams. That's one function that they provide for you, is they give you that been there, done that. Because she's rehearsing something so horrible, like being in the Holocaust, and that's like lifting 100 pounds. It's the same thing as going to the gym. She's practicing lifting 100 pounds when she's only used to lifting 25 pounds. Of stress, I mean.
Yeah.
And because you rehearse at night with a nightmare like that, then during the day, you become desensitized to your waking life situation because you've been practicing during the night.
Mm, okay. Wow. Yeah, and I got to say, Lainey, I'm not surprised that a lot of the dreams that you've been talking about lately have to do with what the world's going through right now.
It's really quite something to see.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Here's Lulu on WGN. Hi, Lulu.
Hey, hi. Great subject. And I have a question. I remember my dreams most of the time. Well, I would say 90% of the time. But what bothers me, during my waking period, sometimes I will think of a dream that could be 20 years old, and it's like my brain file cabinet opens up, and then I just start, like fireworks, dreams come back to me. And I'm wondering if, and they don't necessarily have to correlate, is it still some problem that I haven't solved?
Okay, let's talk about that. My goodness, Lulu, thank you very much. You opened the door to going deeper. And so I'll just say why I really do dream analysis, besides problem solving today's issue, is that all of us, when we come into the world, we arrive here whole. We have the ability to be shy, to be assertive, happy, sad, maybe you were the comedian in the family. Maybe you're the person who was more serious. So we have every possibility, and the people that bring us up teach us that it's more cool to be one way than another. And the fast example is I grew up with European parents, and I learned that I should learn to not speak up because that was considered disrespectful. So if my father was yelling at me when I was 6 or 7 years old, I couldn't look at him and say, excuse me, I don't like how you're talking to me, because I would have landed up in my bedroom. So we become over-exercised and under-exercised in all these different parts of our personality. And that's the kind of thing that you're talking about that takes you through life, because for me, I became overinvested in shutting up and underinvested in speaking up. And so if I have an argument, or not I, but let's say Andy, my husband, has an argument with me and he opens up a big mouth to me during that argument, it's not appropriate for me to stand there shaking in my boots like I'm 7 years old and he's my father. So for me, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. For me, it's all about appropriateness. And your dreams give you the response to the appropriateness. And so they remind you about your unexercised parts that you can take back anytime you want. So, for example, I really did have that happen to me with sweet Andy, who's just like my dad. He'd take the shirt off his back for you, but boy, does he have a temper. And when I was 40, he was yelling at me, and I stood there doing my over-exercised part, saying nothing, as if I'm 7 years old. And when I went to sleep, I dreamt about an aunt of mine who had already been dead for like 10 years at the time, but using a symbol's point of entry, I asked myself very quickly, what comes to my mind when I think about her? And I knew immediately she had the biggest mouth of anybody I ever met. She was the most assertive person. And so she comes into my dream because I need to access that under-exercised aspect of my personality. And because I understood that, when I woke up the next morning, I used a little bit of her. Because I'm not here to tell you that change is easy. I'm here to tell you that change is possible. And you can exercise these different parts of yourself that your parents taught you is not allowed. And so when I was 40, because I'm going to be 68 next week, so it's been 28 years that I have been practicing my voice, and Andy has not opened up his mouth to me in at least 20 years. Because you start practicing, and it's weird at first. It's the same thing as using a muscle in a gym. The next day it hurts, and it even hurts worse 2 days later. But if you keep exercising the same muscle, change happens. And I'm not afraid anymore, and he knows I'm not afraid. And now, after 20 years, he knows you better not open up that mouth to me because you're going to get it back.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Lulu, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Here's Howard on WGN. Hi, Howard.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, I act out my dreams. Like, for instance, I'll be, I think I'm playing baseball. I'm starting to a base. I'm actually moving out of bed, and I've actually fell out of bed. And, like, I had 18 stitches in my ear because I acted out the dream. It's happened a couple times to me where I actually think I'm doing something, and I'm actually moving. And
Right, and so you're still problem-solving, using whatever images you're using. Like if you're playing baseball, I suppose if that was my dream, it might be about me making sure that I've touched all the bases on whatever it is that I'm looking at. And by answering you that way, I'm using play on words and puns, because we use puns and play on words in our dreams constantly. And as for moving, that's normal. That happens to some people. I mean, most of us are, you know, ability to move shuts down, but sometimes it doesn't. And so you're moving along. But for what I do, I teach people how to uncover why you had that dream last night.
Mm-hmm. Howard, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Laney Dolphin, haveagreatdream.com is the website and the book names. Here's Sherry on WGN. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, guys. Lady Dolphin, I've got a stepdaughter who has PTSD and severe depression from her natural mom. This is stepmom calling in. She has horrible, horrible nightmares about her mom and her brother. And we've got full custody. We've moved 3,000 miles away. She's still having them. She sees a therapist and a psychiatrist. She's turned to drugs because she can't handle the PTSD. I'm just wondering, is there any way to handle those nightmares?
Well, you know, if she didn't see her mother or her brother yesterday, then
no,
the dream
she hasn't for a year.
Yeah, so then she's using them as a metaphor for something else in the dream or somebody else. So if I was just talking about poor Andy. I'm always talking about Andy on the radio. If I'm aggravated with him, it's we each are walking around with your unconscious has every single memory and association that you've ever had since you're born. And it's not something you can look up in a book because all of us has a very unique as your fingerprint. And so if I'm aggravated with Andy, my filing cabinet or database opens up when I want to say something to myself about him. Every single boyfriend I ever had is in the same filing cabinet. And so she might be dreaming about her mother and her brother this week, but it's probably not specifically about them this week. But something is upsetting her this week, which could very easily be the virus, for example.
Yeah.
And so she's tapping into something and choosing people who make her feel in a similar way because they will all be in that same database, that same filing cabinet.
Mm. Wow. Okay, Sherry, best of luck with your stepdaughter. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's a simple question, Lanny.
Okay.
708 area code says, why do I always wake up at the best part of a dream?
And that's called, I have these different things that you remember I was talking about been there, done that.
Yeah.
And that question is take that feeling and run with it. It reminds me of when somebody calls me with a horny dream and sometimes it's because you actually forget what it feels like to feel good. And the dream gives you the feeling and it wants you to take that feeling and run with it. Or here's a better one that I got this week about the virus. Here's a man who dreamt that he won $250 million in an online lottery. And so he gives himself, he's feeling so low and so worried about money and the virus and getting sick, and he's just so down that his dream provides him with an unbelievable happiness feeling by winning this lottery, and it creates a balance. It's like that thing I was talking about before, about holding something in. So he's feeling so low that the dream makes him so happy, and it worked because he got up in the morning actually feeling better.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, Lainey, hold on. Let's see. Lainey Dolphin is here. She is a renowned expert on interpreting dreams. Her website is haveagreatdream.com. And she's got two books, both called Have a Great Dream, Book 1 and Book 2. 312-981-7200. More with Lainey Dolphin, our dream expert, right after this on WGN.
I've got dreams to remember. I've got dreams to remember. Honey, I saw you there last night. Another man's arms holding you tight. Nobody knows what I feel inside. All I know, I walked away and cried. I've got dreams.
The great Otis Redding. Got dreams to remember. The great Otis Redding. And we are talking with Lainey Dolphin, who is a renowned expert in interpreting dreams. Her website is haveagreatdream.com. She's got two books, Have a Great Dream and Have a Great Dream Book 2. And we're here until 4 a.m. I'll be keeping you company till 4, and then we'll head over to Bradley Place for the WGN-TV news, and then at 5 o'clock, Bob Surratt. We're here 24-7 keeping you informed, keeping you company, and getting you through this, and we'll all get through this together. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, let's say hello again to Lainey Dolphin. Welcome back, Lainey.
Thank you, Nick.
Yes. So people who... who have interpreted dreams for years. You know, some of them are inconsistent. You know, like some people interpret certain dreams one way, and then the same dream is interpreted completely different by someone else. How do you trust what's going on there?
You trust the dreamer because our database is so totally unique. You must ask the dreamer what their associations to the images are, and that's why I wrote my books.
Okay.
Because it's not something that you could just look it up in a book, what a cat means. What does a cat mean to you, by the way?
Oh, I love cats.
What do you think about?
They make me happy.
Happy.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And do you have a cat?
I don't currently. I do not. But I've grown up with cats. And oddly enough, the cat thing would come up because my folks have two cats and they had to take one to the vet last night and an emergency. It's going to be okay, but it was kind of scary. They had to actually venture out of the house.
Right.
And I was nervous about that. But then they had to bring their cat. They had to bring the cat in. It was sick. And,
right. And so, it's possible that in the next few weeks, if something happens that really frightens you, you might dream about a cat because you just made this association to them having to leave the house about the cat. And so now you've told us already what kind of associations you have. And for me, I'm not that comfortable with them because I find them very aloof and independent. And so if I dream about a cat, I'm going to do two things. The first thing I'm going to do is ask myself who in my life this week is behaving in a particularly aloof and independent way, and I'm not that comfortable about it because I'm more a dog, affectionate kind of person. And so that's one thing. Or maybe the cat is appearing in my dream because that's who I need to access. Maybe that's an under-exercised part of myself where I need to be behaving more aloof and independent in whatever situation the dream is addressing.
That's interesting. That really is. Yeah, it's very strange to associate all this stuff and learn from it.
That's how you know that you want to go to the dreamer, because if you ever heard that expression, an aha, if you see it in the face of the dreamer, or I can even hear it over the phone because I do a lot of phone work and Skype and stuff, and you know when you've hit it because the dreamer tells you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's talk a little bit about lucid dreams, Lainey. How do they happen and what do they mean?
Well, a lucid dream is when you become semi-conscious in the dream and you know that you're dreaming. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, the biggest authority that I know out there about lucid dreaming is Stephen LaBerge. And I know him and he's a terrific guy, and I also happen to agree with him because lucid dreams, you can manipulate them. Like if somebody's chasing you, you can turn around and face your pursuer and say to him, why are you chasing me? What's up here?
Yeah.
And you can do that in the dream. But he promotes lucidity, and he doesn't care if you're lucid in the day or lucid at night. And I agree with him completely because that puppy dream I gave you at the very beginning about the woman who quits her job, she became lucid while she was awake. So maybe she wasn't lucid in the dream state, but who cares? The dream brought her lucidity in her waking life.
Yeah, wow, interesting. Okay, here's Bobby on WGN. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, good. How are you doing, Lainey and Nick?
All right.
I'm doing good.
Hey, I got a funny thing to tell you guys. Just last night this happened to me. Every once in a blue moon, I'll have a night where I dream in short stories. It seems like my entire night was spent dreaming. And I'll get up, I'll go to the bathroom, come back to sleep, and I fall instantly back to sleep, and I'll have another short story. And I never quite understood those nights.
Okay, well, that's a great question, and that's also about repetition again. And the best example that I can give you is that we use, like 20 years ago when I wrote my first book, I'm very comfortable on the radio. I could be in my pajamas like I am right now.
Yeah.
And nobody can see me, and it's very comfortable for me. But I was invited to New York to go on Fox. And so that was going to happen after the Christmas holidays. And so leading up to that time, I had a dream about a ghost. And in my database, what does that mean? It means I'm scared. It's something I have no control over. And then I dreamt that I was standing on the abyss of a cliff. And what does that mean? It means I'm scared. And closer to the morning, I dreamt about my grade 5 teacher. And what does that mean? It means I'm scared. So I'm saying, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. And I'm exercising being scared. So I desensitize myself for when I got to New York. I had already, it was like I was saying about been there, done that. So sometimes you give yourself these short stories, but when you uncover each story, you might find out that you're saying the same darn thing to yourself. You're just using a different story to say the same message, and it's because your unconscious wants you to hear it.
Okay. All right, Bobby, thank you for the call.
Yeah. Do you remember read it, write it, recite it?
Yeah.
Read it, write it, recite it. That's how we learn, and we used to have to do that in school, and your dreams are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, Bobby, thanks for your call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And you said there's a lot of things that represent certain things in your life. When you see loved ones who have died in real life, and when you see them in your dreams, does that mean anything specific?
Well, yes. I'm going to give you an on-the-record and off-the-record response. If I dream about my father, I will dream about him because before I go on a business trip, because he represents for me that part of my personality, that male business side, get on the plane away from the family kind of aspect that I need to tap into, because I'm not going to dream about my mother that is tapping into all my daughters, my granddaughters, my son-in-laws, my husband. I'm not going to dream about my maternal side. I'm going to dream about my business side. And that's what helps me get on the plane and leave them. But how do you and I know that my father didn't really visit me? I bet you he did. So I think we're very, very sophisticated. And I think that even though I happen to be looking at the metaphors in the dream to help people, it doesn't mean that there isn't a ton of other stuff going on, including ESP and visits from the other side. I believe all of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It always kind of freaks me out whenever I have a dream of someone who has passed away. And for some reason, it's sometimes it's comforting, but sometimes it's very off-putting, you know?
Right, and I had another virus dream from another woman who's dreaming that she's on the phone with her grandmother, who she really hasn't seen in a month, who's in the hospital. And while she's on the phone with the grandmother, she sees her deceased grandfather standing at the door, and she blows off her grandmother because there's something so important going on because.
Right. Right.
Her deceased grandfather is standing there,
right.
And he runs to embrace her. And once we understood her definition of these two people, she described the grandfather as a calm person who he brought a wave of calm
right.
over the family, and there was nothing
right.
that man couldn't handle.
Right.
And the grandmother, on the other hand, is a big social person,
right.
loves to be with people, so she blows off the grandmother because she's looking away from that part of her personality right now
right.
because she's in quarantine and she's nervous.
Yeah.
So she's leaning into that grandfather personality
right.
style of feeling relaxed, who can handle anything.
Right. Okay, Lane, a real pleasure, Laney, talking to you. Really great stuff. Everybody should check out the website. Have a great dream, and I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me, Nick.
Okay, there you go. Laney Dolphin, check out haveagreatdream.com.